to be able to watch everybody's commentary. Good morning, everybody. We're coming to you live from inside the main build facility here at Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. I'm Tom, and we all know the master, Bubba. Bubba, how you doing today?
Man, dude, it has been a day already.
Again?
Let me tell you, people don't understand how much time it goes into doing this kind of work, dude. Honestly, and this is just coming from not a dickhead standpoint, just a personal standpoint. So I have been for the Turbonetics Mustang that's getting ready to ship to California.
The 2017,
for
yep, the 2017 Bubba Edition Turbonetics Mustang.
I literally kid you not, guys out there, everyone, if you are fans, if you are do-it-yourselfers, if you guys have never done this stuff before, a lot of people think polishing a car is a 30-minute deal. I am 4 days into wet sanding and buffing to a mirror finish on the 2017 Turbonetics Mustang. So this car is going to go out there reflective as I don't even know what to tell you. And it is just time. You can't rush that process. That is like four stages of wet sanding, 1,000, 1,500, 2,000, 3,000, sometimes a 5 if you really want to get that stupid show quality clarity. But man, you do those four stages of wet sanding, you do the three stages of the cutting, the polishing, and then the mirror finish. It is a long process. Like literally my hands are turning white from all of the wet sanding just doing this process. But let me tell you, wait till you guys see the photos we post on Instagram later. Blow your mind.
Blow your mind. Good morning, everybody. This episode is brought to you by Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. Bubba'sExoticMotorsports.com. Miss Outlaw Boutique. MSOutlawBoutique.com. Do not miss the Monkey in Paradise party in Abacoa at Miss Outlaw Boutique tonight. We're going to be making a big announcement here shortly with Monkey in Paradise and tomorrow as well, ladies and gentlemen. Tony Rienzi. TonyRienzi.com. Exotic car guru and salesman to the stars. Great guy, laughing our butt off yesterday. Oh my God, he had us in stitches, didn't he, Bub?
Yeah, that's what you have to do, man. If someone steps over the line, you gotta call them out.
Goodness gracious, and Monkey in Paradise. Bub, what's your paradise?
I know what my paradise is. You guys stay tuned, you'll see the paradise tomorrow.
You're gonna see it, ladies and gentlemen.
Monkey in Paradise, premium vodka. Frank, Seth, Alex, they will all see it tonight.
And they're gonna be blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, Monkey in Paradise, remind you, please drink responsibly. Bub, I've got to jump into this segment. We've had 100 phone calls and emails sent in about car raiders.
Yeah.
We promised people we'd bang on this last week. We didn't get to it. So I wanted Bub I know you kind of weren't ready. You've been working over on the Bub Edition Turbonetics hood that you just referred to for 4 days. And I pulled out, Bub, a nice little setup here today with two different carburetors, one the Holley double pumper style we talked about, one the Edelbrock style, an air cleaner spacer, and an air cleaner, which are kind of the components in the fuel line, which are kind of the components that make up the carburation system.
Yeah.
So, Bub, I'm going to ask you a few questions about it. First of all, what is a carburetor, Bub?
So simple as that, a carburetor.
How do you spell carburetor? First of all, 99.9% of America cannot do it. And can you make my phone work so I can read the questions as they come through?
Carburetor.
C-A-R-B.
Can you use it as a sentence, please? U-R-E-T-O-R.
Carburetor. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. From the master himself. So, Bub, tell us a little bit, what is the definition of a carburetor and what is its function? What does it do?
Well, wait for it. You just asked me to update your phone so you can see what's going on. There you go.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Vinny. I'm glad you're out there watching. Alex, oh boy, say it ain't so. Oh, it's definitely so. Good morning to the official race team driver for Bubba's Exotic Motorsports, our rally and drift car driver, Mr. George Hammerbeck, who came out of retirement, Bub, to take on the car. Big news coming out of there yesterday. We were working with Rolly, a former rally car driver, and also our sponsor, Unity Suspension. We have big phone calls and big things going with your rally car there tomorrow. So
you
got to
think, these are guys that are multi-champion winners at not only just Rallycross, but World Rallycross, WRC. That stuff, dude, is just balls to the wall. Got to have a death wish. Running wide open throttle. Inches between trees, cliff edges, everything that you could possibly imagine, that is a matter of life or death in a matter of seconds.
And what's funny too is, Bub, I was talking to Rolly at very extended lengths, as you know, yesterday, you were in part of those conversations. Rolly and I had 22 emails go back and forth technically that I need to share with Gio and you and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But one of the things we were saying is we're going to put Rolly in that car because Rolly's a former co-pilot as well. And you're going to let him get some seat time in there with Gio as well. Those two are going to be a powerhouse combination.
No, are you kidding me? And by the way, in the car, that Rolly was sponsored by BMW
That's
Racing
right.
itself.
That's correct.
I don't know if you could have much more of a powerhouse. I really don't.
I told Bub I wanted to ride. He said, Dad, you've got enough death wishes as it is. I guess I'm not going to be in that car.
No, not at all.
So, hey, Bub, Vincent says we should put some side drive carburetors Italian style on the BMW rally car. Bub, take us through what a carburetor is and what is its definition. What does it do?
Yeah, so naturally, an internal combustion engine is essentially vacuum. It draws vacuum and combustion as it builds when it runs. So when you have a downdraft style carburetor like Vincent is missing, any sort of mechanically operated fuel system, you have to have specific tuning done to it, as well as electronic fuel injection, but there are sensors and monitors and ECM programs and maps that monitor all of that and handle all of it. Once it's tuned, it's set, it's done, it knows how to run itself. Not so much for carburetors. Carburetors, you have to manually set them for your engine, for your application, for what you are doing. You have to set your idle speed. You have to set your air-fuel mixture. You have to set your accelerator pump shot. You have to set your jet sizes. You have to set, what else am I missing here? Float level, fuel pressure, mechanical fuel pump. There are so many things that most people don't understand that go into a proper air-fuel delivery system when it comes to just mechanically operated stuff like carburetors and mechanical advanced distributor systems, whether it be with a vacuum advance or just a full set of mechanical weights, centrifugal advance, however you may have your combination, which is very common in the everyday world of classic cars, resto mods, older vintage stuff. You're dealing with all those items, and that is a lost art. There are not many people out there that know how to properly tune a carburetor, and it's honestly fairly simple. I know I threw a lot of stuff out there for you guys, just right there with all the pieces you need to tune, but once you understand it, you know what your end goal is, it's really not that complicated to keep tuning it and tuning it and tuning it however you want.
The funny thing is, Bub, you're only 28 years old. You're a master of these systems. You're a master at EFI systems. You understand both of them intimately inside and out. With the carbureted systems, like the EFI systems, you had to make sure that engine was running before you even could look at that carburetor and start figuring that side of it out, Bub.
Yeah.
I've got on display two of your favorite builds and two of the basic builds, the Edelbrock, Bub, carburetor, and the Holley double pumper carburetor. Double pumper, you taught us the other day, meaning it was...
Well, this one here is, let me see. So this one here is actually not a double pumper, what you're seeing. This, a double pumper is a mechanical secondary accelerator pump shot. So you are talking raw horsepower when you hit this thing and go wide open throttle. These are mechanical secondaries, so your primary and your secondaries, and there's no vacuum that opens those. They are physically by linkage. So the second they open, they are dumping fuel right with them. That is a really
What is an accelerator pump?
So accelerator pump would be like, for example, on this carburetor, this is our Holley. This is a set of vacuum secondaries. This is probably a, I don't know, maybe a 670. I haven't even looked at the part number of it. This is just an extra one we had laying here around the facility here. This is a vacuum secondary pod. So this literally opens under engine vacuum. That is when these secondary throttle plates will open up and pull fuel in with them as they open up. This is nothing more than a vacuum operated system where a mechanical secondary, when you were to open this throttle plate, the secondary linkage here would open up, and there would actually be an accelerator pump on this side that will be a pump shot of fuel directly down into it. So depending on the size of your camshaft, the size of your motor, your cubic inches, your combustion, you can custom tune these to that exact system so you never have a flat spot, you never have a hesitation or a delay. The accelerator pump is the very first shot of fuel you get that comes from a linkage operated system. That's not because of vacuum drawing in the motor. Accelerator pumps physically come from movement of the throttle shaft, which is linked directly to your foot inside the car.
Bub, when I watch you tune these carburetors, I often see you leaning inside the engine bay with the motor at a very smooth idle regardless of the cam.
Mm-hmm.
People, because you have a cam does not mean you should have a choppery motor. It means you're not tuned properly.
Big time, big time.
When I see Bub, I watch as you work very carefully with that accelerator pump, especially on that setup right there. And you're down with like a 5/16 inch wrench, and you're just touching that. So when you, and I can hear the motor respond very quickly to your tuning so that as soon as you hit that, it's right there. There's no hesitation
right.
at all.
Yeah, there's, and pump shots are different. You know, again, before you get into even tuning, you can tune any carburetor on any motor. Is it going to be perfect? Absolutely not. It is about whether or not the carburetor is built specifically for that engine. Every engine application requires a different amount of fuel, a different amount of air. Every setup is totally different. These companies like Edelbrock, like Holley, Quick Fuel, you can go to their sites, you can take your time and do your research and literally use like carburetor application finders. And it will have an entire little automated pre-calculated system that says engine cubic inches. And this is where a lot of guys screw up, because they think that because they've, you know, done a small little upgrade to their motor, they need an 800 CFM carburetor.
Not so. The case. No.
You need to go through and take the time and understand that your system you're putting on that engine is exactly what it needs to be, or very close to it. Don't just say bigger is better. It's not in this case. You can always have way too much fuel. You can have way too little fuel. Both of them not good for performance and reliability. You go to these sites, Holley has a carburetor selector. You can literally put in your engine cubic inches, your maximum red line that your motor's probably gonna hit. Most V8s are gonna be between 5,500 and 6,000. You can go through and put on what your upgrades are. They have like stock, mild, and I think they have highly modified. So they have three different tabs you can select. One would be just an all stock, straight up application. One would be, and that's just stock everything, stock intake, stock motor. You're just looking for a carburetor swap. Then they have like a mild, which would be maybe you have an aftermarket camshaft, maybe a high flow exhaust system, upgraded intake manifold. Then there's like the highly modified, maybe aluminum heads, maybe large camshaft, higher combustion ratio, all kinds of different things. You can start and go through this form and they will literally drop you into the exact part you need for your engine application. If you know what specs you're working with, man, it is that much to the T, as universal as these things are. This carburetor will fit on any four barrel square bore flange. This will go on.
Doesn't mean it's right for your application, no. Ladies and gentlemen.
This will fit Mopar, Ford, Chevrolet, GM, Pontiac. It will fit every possible four barrel setup, Offenhauser for Jeeps, Offenhauser for Austin Healey's. You can literally get a four barrel square bore flange in just about every intake manifold design for any vehicle all the way out across the world.
Bub, on this particular carburetor, if I can show it to the audience, please.
You keep making me pick this sucker up.
There are a couple. There are a couple pieces. Let's describe, Bub. I'll move up here. What is this rail we see, this chrome rail coming in right here, and what is this dial on the side of it?
Right. So the rail you're looking at here is your inlet feed line. Most of the time, when you search for these things, that's what they're going to be called: carburetor inlet feeds. So this is a dual feed line, rear feed and front feed. This is your primary fuel bowl. This is your secondary fuel bowl. This is what you drive off of. This is what you wide open throttle off of. It's just that simple. Not too hard to get confused there. On this dual feed line, this one actually has an 1/8 inch NPT port, so you can actually see what your fuel pressure is. Most Holley carburetors are set to handle no more than 7 pounds of fuel pressure. That's it. Don't go bigger. Don't go less. 7 pounds of fuel pump. If you have a small block Chevrolet, you can go to Holley's site, same thing. You can look at their stuff and it'll say, okay, small block Chevrolet fuel pump, everything from 55 to, I don't know, 86 maybe is when they went to the injection style blocks. You can literally get a small block, polished, satin finished, gloss black, powder coated, whatever fuel pump you want, rated for 6.5 to 7 pounds, hook up to any of their carburetors. Perfect. You never screw it up. It's just that simple.
On fuel injected applications, Bub, is it 7 pounds as well, or do they run more fuel line pressures?
Way different. Totally different. And you can also, again, that's what I just referred to in the 6.5, 7 pound fuel pump system. That's a mechanically operated, block mounted, engine mounted system. You can, by all means, run 75 pounds of fuel pressure to this. So for example, let's say you are working on a Fox Body Mustang, right? Or maybe a third generation Camaro, something that was factory injected. You want to go into more of the highly modified systems. You want to go carbureted. No problem with that. Those cars will most likely have a pressure and a return line going to the fuel tank itself. You can run it all day long as you do a fuel pressure regulator that comes down to 6.5 pounds. So fuel injection systems, to fade into your question, they're much higher rated. Most of them anywhere between 45 and 60 pounds, depending on the motor, depending on the application. That's usually where those run. So you couldn't just take a pressure line from a fuel injected Fox body and go into a carburetor. You have to do some sort of pressure regulator assembly, not seen here, pressure regulator prior to your inlet feed, and then you'll have a return line going back out to just dump any of the excess fuel back into the tank. And then you have a really good, reliable
system. As governed by the regulator itself.
Either way, as long as you're set at what this carburetor can handle, every carburetor in the world, I don't care where it is, doesn't take more than 7 pounds, unless it is like an alcohol meth system. Some can handle up to 9 pounds, 9.5 pounds. Boost regulated systems for Vortex Supercharge, Paxton Supercharge, they can get up there, but you use what's called a boost reference regulator. That's not 9 pounds at idle, it's 6 pounds at idle, opens to 9 pounds when you're under boost.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things out there that most of you guys out there aren't familiar with. Just take the time and do the freaking research. It's that simple, and you can tune anything in to be not only smooth, but really responsive, really efficient, and just gobs of power.
Just because it runs and it chops doesn't mean you
doesn't mean
it right.
It's running right.
But I noticed there's two screws mm-hmm. on the front. This is the primary and the this is the primary?
Yep, primary.
The primary, and this is your all-in
secondary
here. So I noticed there are two screws, and I often see you with those screws open and the vehicle running at a very smooth idle, and you gently rock the fender of the car mm-hmm. until you see fuel trickle through these while the vehicle's running. What is that?
So what you're referring to is what you would consider like your fuel sight bolt. So the two screws, these are flathead on this side. Some of these carburetors, like the Demons, a lot of the Quick Fuel, even higher end Hollies, they're more Ultra Series, everything that's a little higher up, not just a basic Street Avenger, their systems come with a clear sight glass, which is beautiful. I love using the clear sight glass. You don't even have to touch any fuel when you're tuning these things. All you have to do is look through the side of the carburetor. This would be a clear glass right here, and you could literally see what your fuel level is sitting at. This is fairly simple. You want on the clear sight glass models where they are sealed units, you want the fuel to be sitting dead center at idle with the car level with it running at idle. Just that simple. You just want the fuel level dead center. If it's too high, if it's too low, you make your adjustment right here with a flathead screwdriver and a 5/8 wrench. Fairly simple process. You screw it in, it goes down. You screw it up, comes up. It's just that simple. It's fairly simple to do them. Those are the very first steps. Aside from getting your car started, if you just did a carburetor swap, even if you guys are out there and you are watching, if you have a car that's possibly running like junk and you have a Holley setup, the very first thing you need to adjust is get your fuel level set right. You cannot touch anything else before these are set. If they are set wrong, you could have, for example, if your fuel is too low, your air fuel mixture is not going to respond properly, your screws on the side, so your idle circle will never be tuned properly. So you have to start with your fuel pressure, getting them set right with your fuel levels. Then you can start working into everything else, your accelerator pump, your ignition timing, your air fuel mixture screws on the side, your idle mixture. On Hollies, this is where it gets tricky, guys. There are two sets of idle screws on Hollies. Most people don't know this. That's a big, big, big misconception, a really hard thing for most people to get, especially on Hollies upgraded series with a four-corner idle circuit, where you have...
What is a four-corner idle circuit, Bub?
So right now you're looking at, this is just a base model. This is probably, I'd say, let me see here. This is a 670. So this is a fairly mild carburetor. This would be great for just a bolt-on. You can see it's a vacuum secondary. This would be a really great street carburetor. That's what this is meant for. This setup here has, it's a two-corner idle circuit. So you have an air fuel mixture screw on the front left and also on the front right, directly below the time port for your vacuum distributor. A four-corner is double that. You just have them on the rear for your secondaries. So that's where it comes into play that you have to have your primary and your secondary throttle plates always even. Most people screw this up big time, man. If you have a car that maybe runs a little rough when it's in park, but then when you put it in drive, the car wants to sputter out and shut down, probably because your throttle plates are not open equally, front and rear, primary and secondary, and your mixture screws are not all set the same. Dead on, 110%, every mixture screw must be even. Half turn, 3/4 turn, 5/8 of a turn, 1.5 turns, 2.5 turns, whatever it is, they must be even. I can't tell you how many carbs I tune that are like 1 turn on the right, 4 turns on the left. I'm like, yo, what are you doing? Do you know
like
how rich?
Like I said, if it's choppy, you've got it built wrong.
Big time.
Period. Bub, on the underside, I want to talk about just a second here, to identify what are the butterflies.
Butterflies are, so here you're looking at the primary butterflies. Those are on your main throttle shaft. These are your secondaries. Now on this carburetor, this is a perfect example. You can see wide open throttle only works the primaries. Secondaries are doing nothing here. These are strictly vacuum operated. That comes from the vacuum of the motor. So you can literally change the vacuum diaphragm springs depending on the vacuum of your motor that your camshaft produces, the way your system's set up. Every carburetor can be built to your application and can be really, really reliable. I can tell you, we do a lot with fuel systems, a lot with electronic fuel systems, stock and very highly modified. You can make carbureted systems, if it's your budget, run really freaking good and really reliable if you know what you're doing and you just go step by step by step. Most instructions for Harley carburetors, 40 plus pages long.
Gotta know.
Take the time.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is not the way you build.
A vacuum cap with a bolt in it.
Yeah, a piece of vacuum line with the bolt in it. That's not how you do it. You put a proper vacuum cap on it if you need to. Very different carburetor here, Bub, if you'll hold that for a second, versus the Edelbrock that you see right here, ladies and gentlemen. I'll trade you for a second.
While these are still the same flange, when you look at the bottom of these, There's still a square bore, four barrel system, same mounting points, everything's the exact same. This carburetor, they'll both interchange on manifolds all across every year, make and model, as long as they're a fair four barrel square bore flange. These are totally different in terms of tuning, completely different than the way Holley's set up. Just in the fact that, like, to do your float levels, you have to remove what they consider, Edelbrock, being a top hat, which is underneath all of the Torx 25 screws, you remove the top hat assembly. There's a right float and a left float. You would remove those floats, and you can literally set them to a half inch and a 1 inch height and drop so that your fuel level is set exactly where it should be internally of the carburetor. A lot of key things go into getting carburetors tuned properly, and that is just starting with, again, what was the very first thing I just went to?
The very first thing you float do with level. Any Edelbrock carburetor out of the box, Bub, is you take off the top hat,
yep,
and you set your float level. You have a mic that you measure the drop, 7/16 one way, an inch or something the other way?
Yeah, the Edelbrock quotes it for 7/16 is your fill height, and then you have 15/16 to 1 inch for a drop height. However, me personally here in South Florida, I found that the 7/16 height, with how hot our engines get down here and with how hot the temperatures naturally are, I've actually bumped that so that its fill height is half inch. So only a 16th lower is what I've brought it to. So from 7/16 Edelbrock to half inch, that's what I've brought it to. So that when it's, you know, really, really hot outside and you go to start that car, you didn't have any extra fuel that may have trickled past and is sitting just on top of the primary plates, which is just unmonitored fuel. It would technically be a rich mixture on startup. So you have to kind of open the throttle a little
bit,
run out a little fuel, which is obnoxious when you're at a car show. Your car doesn't look like it's starting right, blah, blah, blah.
And that's what that, ladies and gentlemen, is what you hear at car shows when people are turning the key
cranking
and they're just
and
going, and they can't get the car to fire.
That's from fuel sitting in the motor that hasn't been burned or ignited yet, which comes from one thing, float levels too high.
That's correct. And it keeps trickling fuel. These are your mains right here, and the fuel just continues to drip through these areas right here down into the throttle plate and sits inside the throttle plates in the intake manifold, and it doesn't fire. Well, on the back side here, these are the butterflies on the Edelbrock. The Edelbrock, by the way, is all made in USA. The Edelbrocks are a very fine family of production people.
Mm-hmm.
They're very good people, all of them over there, Vicky and Cameron, all of them. And Bub, we see here, this is much lighter.
Mm-hmm.
It's much, much lighter, right? And these are our throttle plates here, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know, Bub, you set these throttle plates so that they are there's just a slight tick open or however it's supposed to be adjusted so that it runs properly.
Yeah, on Edelbrock and Holley, there are two different systems. Although you're tuning kind of the same way when it comes to...
Not at all.
No, you're still, in terms of like your air-fuel mixtures at idle. Those idle mixture screws, you tune the exact same way. They must be the exact same amount, whether it's half turn, one turn out, two turns out. You must have them the exact same. If they're not, guys, stop watching us now and go freaking tune your carburetors. They are not right. So in terms of setting these things, these are fairly easy to do. You just start with your idle transfer slots in the throttle. You open them up about 20 to 30,000ths of an inch on the Edelbrock carburetors. That will get you pretty much inside the car. You can turn the key, it'll start up and get running, so you can start all of your primary tuning and get this thing running exactly how it should. On Holley's, however, if you are running a large duration camshaft and you are running like a four-corner idle circuit, you actually have to adjust the secondary plates as well. Edelbrocks, you don't have to. So what you have to do on the Holley series is literally adjust the secondary idle screw, because most people think Holley's only come with one idle screw, which is incorrect. They have two. You just have to get to the second one. You have to remove the carburetor, and it's directly underneath of the passenger side rear secondary plate. You can adjust this so that inside of here, there's an idle transfer slot. I guarantee you guys can't see it. It's very, very small. You set that to 20,000ths of an inch. You can use a flat feeler gauge and literally set it side by side to the transfer slot, see exactly what that measurement is. And that would be if you're running, you know, a large duration camshaft, you're having to run a four-corner idle circuit, and you have to make sure that your rears and your fronts match identically and then tune them both equally from there. So if you need to turn your idle down once your carburetor is tuned, you turn them both, you know, an eighth of a turn here, eighth of a turn there. Do everything equally when it comes to Holley. A little more sophisticated in tuning, very, very reliable once they're tuned and set up. Take a lot of time to tune those. Very easy to do. The benefit, my pro to Holley is the fuel level adjustment. You don't have to remove anything to adjust your fuel levels on those, especially if it's a clear sight glass. The Edelbrocks take a little longer because you do have to remove the entire top hat, and then you have to bend the tangs on the brass floats. Doesn't take much more time, but it's not as easy as just that. With a flathead and a 5/8 wrench, you can turn them, you can adjust them, you're done. This, you have to pull it all apart, adjust them, but once you're done, you're done, you stick it together, it's never gonna change.
Bob, on this particular carburetor, can you show us where is the fuel inlet line?
Yeah, the fuel inlet line, which is, by the way,
unlike the rail we saw over here.
Let me hold it forward. So here we go. So this is the carburetor facing forward. I cannot tell you guys how many times we've had cars towed into the shop because the fuel line is hooked up here and the car does not run. Open the freaking instructions, guys. They come with the book. This is for your PCV valve system.
Positive crankcase ventilation.
That is what this is for.
Allowing the motor to breathe.
This is not your fuel inlet, guys. I'm telling you right now, I can't tell you how many cars have come in here and had to try to start their car and it won't run because their fuel line's hooked up here from their pump and the car just loads up and dies. Well, that's because you're pumping it straight in. It's going right in here and coming into the motor. So you're really flooding the crap out of it. Your fuel inlet on a carburetor is passenger side, upper rear. This is a 3/8 barbed inlet. You can change these to anything you could possibly imagine, whatever you want, depending on your air filter system, your fuel line clearance, your valve cover clearance, whatever your setup may be. You can change this inlet fitting to have exactly what you want. Edelbrock sells all of those components.
Bob, I noticed on this carburetor, unlike the Holley that we are looking at, I know they're two different designs, but I see this cylindrical casing sitting on the side over here. Can you tell us what that is?
Yeah, so this is nothing more than an electronic choke assembly. When I install these carburetors, I always run electric chokes, even when we're down here in South Florida. Makes it a lot easier to start. You're always gonna have a cold day, whether it's in the winter, whether it's in the summertime. You're always gonna have a cold start. It's always best
every time you start the car in the morning.
It's always gonna be cold.
Cold start.
So this does nothing more than preheat the choke assembly. As you open the throttle, the choke flap pulls shut until this heats up naturally through power and ground off your 12-volt charging system. This will naturally open up and be wide open for you.
One other question I had on this particular setup is, let's see. Oh, there seems to be monkeys caught on it.
There's monkeys everywhere.
There's monkeys everywhere, ladies and gentlemen. If you haven't seen a cocktail monkey up close, there is a cocktail monkey from Monkeys in Paradise right there. What's your paradise? Bob, right here, I noticed this fitting right here. This is a threaded inlet right here. Isn't this where my fuel line goes?
No, not where the fuel line goes. And another one, guys, not for the PCV valve.
Not for PCV.
Why is it you guys out there, I swear to God, I would love to ask every one of you, I'll straight up say it, retards, who can't freaking read, that hook this port either up to a fuel inlet fitting or to a PCV valve. Guys, just open the freaking book, man. It comes with the carburetor. If you're that retarded or you think you're that arrogant and that good about understanding and knowing where that fitting is from, it's wrong. Open the book, go on Edelbrock's website. It's very basic and very easy to flip to. This is your power brake booster port. It even comes with, I'm pretty sure on the tag, when you open these carburetors, do not hook up anything else to this port except power brakes. Comes with a black Allen head plug that screws into that quarter inch NPT. If it's not right, plug the thing up. It's just that freaking simple, man.
And it's funny
power
too,
power brake booster.
The power brakes. The Barrett Jackson truck you just released.
Power brakes.
The power brake booster.
Was hooked to the PCV port.
There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to know what you're doing. You can hear the technical information that Bob walks around with in his head. He'll forget more in 30 minutes than we'll know in a lifetime. That's what makes him who he is and the best of the best. It's this kind of knowledge that he walks around with. Now, Bob, we've only covered the basics. We got to get out of here. But we've only covered some of the basics of carburetors themselves. One other thing I wanted to ask you, Bob, and then we'll top it off because every carburetor has to have this, okay? Bob, I want to ask you, this is ugly. This is not something we
did. That's a gangster setup right there.
Wow, man. Tell us what this is and why is it important?
Okay, so this is not something I would ever build, but this is essentially a fuel inlet system right here. This is nothing more than fuel hose with a clear glass filter so you can see how clean your fuel is, how dirty your fuel is. Some guys run them, some guys don't run them. Edelbrock suggests using theirs when they send them with their kits. Holley suggests using certain ones with their kits. A lot of them you can even get chrome inlet lines that allow you to thread on at this fitting at the front here. You can actually see that this was clearly part of this system, as gangster as this looks right there. There you go. You can see that this was part of it, but you can actually get AN threaded fuel filters. You can get fuel filters that you can literally unscrew, take apart, and clean them. So it might be a $40 purchase up front, but you've got it for the history of the truck until you really get a clump of something and then it's not good. You've got to have fuel filters. You've got to have the proper fuel hose. fuel pressure rated hose. So on carbureted systems, you don't need anything more than, we already know, they're not going to take more than 7 pounds.
6 or 7 pounds.
Unless you're doing like that injected Fox body or third gen Camaro we were discussing.
That's where
you're
a going braided 40 pound.
Yep, you need to make sure that your line can handle the pressure that's within it so that it doesn't blow apart, it doesn't stretch at the clamps when you tighten them down, and then you have a leak that comes up while you're driving, which could be a potential serious hazard.
One of the things, Bub, I wanted to also point out on here is, where is a good place for fuel filters? You see these things coming up by the headers, you see them by the carburetors. Where do you put a fuel filter? This is important, ladies and gentlemen. Where does the fuel filter go?
Okay, so I don't know if any of the guys out there, most people will literally, exhibit A, cut your fuel hose that naturally comes from the fuel pump to the inlet of the carburetor. Probably that this was originally one piece of hose. Someone thought that they had a fuel loss problem and cut this hose in half and just stuck a filter in there. Guarantee that's probably the way it went. When you run fuel filters, just picture stock application vehicles, man, in today's world. Where's a fuel filter? Probably underneath the car somewhere towards the rear by the fuel tank assembly, right? That's typically where they are. Usually where they are in 99.9% of today's vehicles.
Fuel filters. It's pre-pump.
Pre-pump.
Ladies and gentlemen, pre-pump, not up by the carburetor.
Pretty simple.
Back by the fuel tank.
And I don't understand, there's so many freaking lazy hacks out there that will literally take and just cut this off in the parking lot of Pep Boys or Advance Auto or wherever the heck it is, Track Auto, Walmart, I don't freaking care where you are. They will cut this off, and let me just show you how cheap these things are. I just unscrewed it while we were standing here talking. So that could be how easy it comes apart on your engine bay. This is junk. So you can literally take these things and just cut them, splice them into the line. It doesn't take much time to put them on, but don't put it after your fuel pump. Why would you take the inlet of your fuel pump and then wait for all your fuel, if there's rust, there's contaminants, if there's maybe something bad in your tank and your fuel system, it's drawing through, going through the diaphragm of your fuel pump, then going out the outlet of the fuel pump up through a hose, then you put a filter before it stops in the carburetor. You've already kind of missed the most important part, which is a fuel pump. That's kind of what supplies the fuel to the motor.
Right, Bub.
So Andre says, always go pre-pump.
Andre says he loves the knowledge. Andre, thank you for the positive comment. We do like bringing you these technical segments. This is what it's like to work with Bub. You see him laugh a lot and smile a lot. We do kid around a lot, but this is how technical he is and very serious about what he does and what he builds. He's a constant research guru, and he's always on top of this stuff, and it's mind-boggling to listen to it happen. It's very, very fun stuff. So Andre, thank you very much. Bub, one other thing I wanted to point out here, you mentioned
Why is that carburetor so heavy, dude?
It is.
Most carburetors in today's world, guys, are not this heavy. This thing's feeling like a boat anchor.
That's right. And I work out, by the way. Bub, you mentioned a barbed fitting. Mm-hmm. Would you tell us what is a barbed fitting and show us an example of it?
So you've got it right there. That on the inlet feed line of that carburetor, you can actually see there are two ribs. Some people call them rib fittings. Some people call them nipple fittings, as funny as that sounds. Some people call them barb fittings. I consider that a barb fitting, a hose barb. That to me is what I would consider a barb. And that's nothing more than the way your rubber flexible hose or even your braided hose pushes onto that fitting, and then you clamp it down to secure it. It'll never pop off and it's great.
So that is a barb fitting. It helps keep the hose up on the fitting itself.
You can't just, and that's another thing. Guys will take a factory steel fuel line and then they'll just cut it and they'll slide a piece of hose onto a piece of smooth line and then wonder why it pops off when I'm driving down the road.
That's correct.
There's so much just random crap out there. You guys just got to take the time, use the components in today's world, man. It's out there for a reason. It's good quality stuff. Don't just hack it up because you're putting a carburetor on, you think you're going to get 75 horsepower. It's not going to go that way. Most likely you're going to lose horsepower because you guys aren't tuning it right.
Finally, Bub, on top of every carburetor, you want sitting what?
An air cleaner. Got to have an air cleaner.
Okay, Bub. The air cleaner sits right here, ladies and gentlemen, on top of the carburetor itself. The air cleaner has a variety of functions. It is typically, this is a 12-inch, what we call a 12-inch air cleaner. You can see this has mesh wiring and a paper substrate in the center to help filter out bugs, sand, and other potentially harmful components into your engine. Why do you want to do that, Bub? What does this stop from entering the carburetor?
Yeah, I mean, anything. This could stop anything from entering, a number of things. It could be water if you're driving in rain. It could be leaves if you're driving in a fall area where there's a lot of leaves, a lot of dust, a lot of in the desert out west. If you're driving here by the sand at the beach, there's so many different contaminants that can get into your motor. I can't tell you guys how many people have blown engines because they run with no air cleaners on, thinking they're getting more horsepower. Maybe difference between 3 horsepower with or without an air cleaner on and off the car. So very small, very limited difference you're going to notice between most manufacturers and air cleaners, whether it's Demon or Holley or Edelbrock or Transdapter, man, any of these companies out there, Mr. Gasket, all these companies sell great air filters. K&N is my personal choice when it comes to air filters on top of carbureted systems. Even some of modern cars today, the Porsches and Lamborghinis run with drop-in K&N filters. Very good, they're direct fit, they're high flow, they're non-restrictive, and they give you a good 8 to 12 horsepower right out of the box. That's pretty good.
And since both the carburetor sits, that air cleaner, ladies and gentlemen, sits right up here on top of the carburetor, and it makes sure that no impurities dive down inside of this area. What is this area the gateway to? The back side of this, right here, as we've learned from Bub, are your primaries and secondaries. So as soon as it passes through this carburetor, it comes out the bottom, through the intake, and into the combustion chamber of the car, which is the pistons. Pistons and valves do not like metal things being sucked into the carburetor. It will crush a motor immediately.
And we have on many occasions built motors, built custom motors for clients because they have run the car, even tuners have run the car with, say for example, no air cleaner on it, even doing your base time and tune, man. People have blown motors on time and tuning. It happens all across the world in this industry because, for example, neither of these carburetors, if you guys notice, have studs on them, which is what the air cleaner mounts do. I take them off. If you have a stud that goes right through the center, it's a stud that comes up, 1/4 inch by 20 is a thread pitch, maybe 3-4 inches long, depending on the height of your air cleaner. If that stud is here, most likely you're probably, if you are that guy, you're gonna have the wing nut that screws onto it sitting on that stud. As a motor's running and it's vibrating and you're tuning it and you're making your adjustments, that wing nut's naturally backing up. Why does it back up? I have no idea, but nuts always loosen for some reason. They don't tighten. So as these guys are doing it, it's literally vibrating off, and one hit of that wide open throttle creates that vacuum. It draws that wing nut down into the motor, and you're not stopping it. It's done. It's game over at that point. You're either going to crack a valve, destroy a piston, any of those things. And it has to go quite a ways, quite a few minutes, before it can blow it out the exhaust or completely smash down to nothing.
And it will destroy it, ladies and gentlemen.
It will,
metal on
time.
Metal is not good. Hey, Bub, Robert Katzman out there wants to know about a drag tune. And I know that gets into some really technical stuff with mechanical secondaries only and the whole nine yards.
But see, this guy's on it. He knows exactly what to do.
I work for you. I watch you every day, Bub.
Yeah, so maybe
drag strip type application.
Yeah, maybe what we'll do is we'll do a full out because I could go for 20 minutes on that. So maybe what we'll do is we'll do a full segment just specifically on air fuel delivery and ignition tuning. On drag cars, very big difference between street cars. Street strip cars, you can kind of get a mild tune between both of them. Both will perform beautifully. But as long as, just a quick overview, as long as you are running like a drag car specifically, depending on your application, anywhere between 34 and 38 degrees max advance, full advance timing, that's going to give you the most your ignition system can do. If that's operating up to its peak performance, then you make sure that your carburetor assembly is tuned in to match that ignition system in terms of the size of the motor with the carburetor selector. Even then, you can't just go buy, just because you're saying the words drag, you can't go buy a 1,000 CFM carburetor if your motor can only take 750. So you're just wasting fuel at that point, and even more if you're running richer than, say, a 12.5 to 1 air fuel ratio, 12.5 to 1. If you're running richer than that, you're just wasting fuel and you're slowing your car down. So there's a lot of things that come into it, especially in drag tunes. If you're a serious drag racer, you can literally have an air fuel ratio gauge on your car to really set that optimum tuning to what you want, so it's got a good idle, so you're not burning rich at idle, and then you can set it so a serious wide open throttle with mechanical secondaries, like you mentioned. When you hit those secondary plates, it's full on.
I mean, it's right there,
and
it's
there. That's what you want on a drag car.
Yep.
Serious horsepower right out of the hole. 0 to 60 times is where you build all that power, and you just keep running wide open through the gears from there.
Not the optimal piece for the street.
Not for the street. No. Not for the street. You can run it on the street for sure.
You can still tune it in real nice.
But you can do, you know, there's a lot of differences there between whether you go like a drag car. A lot of guys will run a full-on locked-out distributor where you set your base timing at whatever your full timing is going to be, 36, 38. Sometimes you have to run an ignition retard so that when you start the car, it actually pulls back to 14 or 16 just to crank that motor over depending on compression. A lot of things can go into drag car tuning. And it's very, very specific versus a street strip tune, where it's you set a base of, you know, 14, 16, 18, depending on, you want to get the highest advance you can at base, but no further than that 34, 36, 38 on your wide open throttle, full advance at, you know, 24, 26, 3000, depending on your drivetrain setup, your rear gear ratio, automatic or manual. So many different things that can go into it. Send us over some of the specs on your car, and I'll shoot you some ideas up to you.
Absolutely. Please, Robert. sales@bubbasexoticmotorsports.com. By the way, Bub, last night when Mom and I were having dinner, we went and had a pizza and a nice cold Bud Light, man. And we were talking about what was going on with Ted Vernon and some of the stuff that was out there. and not a good situation. But we were actually talking to a former person who had come and spent some time with us in the music or in the broadcast studio and did the podcast with us, Monica, who sang with us.
Oh, yeah, yeah, from American Idol.
Yep. From American Idol. Mm-hmm. She was on American Idol. Mm-hmm. And her father was in the VA hospital. Ironically, I was just talking to Mom about her visit with us last night, and Monica's watching us right now.
Oh,
Monica,
really cool.
God bless you. I hope your singing is going well, and I hope your dad is doing really, really well. Please shoot me an email, tom@bubbasexoticmotorsports.com, and let me know how your dad's doing. You guys are good people
really
out
cool.
there. So it's very coincidental. I'll have to let Mom know after we get off this episode.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to wrap this up. There's
a lot of work to do,
There's a lot more we could be saying. Robert, send us over sales@bubbasexoticmotorsports.com. Bub's willing to give you some inside dialing tips, and we'll help you with that. Bub, there's a lot more we could be doing with this. We'll be doing it. We've got to say congratulations to our sponsor, Monkey in Paradise, who won 2 gold medals. They're the only people who've ever done this. We're very proud of them. Monkey in Paradise reminds you to please drink responsibly. The monkeys are loose in Abacoa tonight, and it's going to be an absolute party. Come join us, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep, that's it.
So, Bub, until next time.
Just keep on doing it Bubba style.
Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you set out today to touch somebody's life in a very positive way if you haven't already. If somebody's hungry, feed them, man. McDonald's is cheap. Somebody has holes in their shoes, help them out. Give them a pair of yours or buy them some from Payless. Also cheap. If you got an elderly person, doesn't matter if their hands are full or not, open the door for them. Help them get to their car. Help them in or out. Until tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, let's just keep on doing it Bubba style.